Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Oh my God. Oh, it was quite a night because the MIP was in the MSG. What a night that was. Oh, my God, man. Let me give you this night. This is all about basketball. This is the reason I wanted to come, because I wanted to share with you what it was like being in the MSG. Madison, swear to God. For a playoff game like that. Now, guys, I told you guys, when I was sitting home watching game one and two, I was like, wow, this is rocking. What? Man, you should have been there. And then I remember looking up at the mirror like, wait a minute, why aren't you there? So I did something about it. Called my man, Wes. Wes, I'm going to be there. I'm coming to see you, buddy. I told you, I was right there. I walked in Madison Square Garden. Now, you got to remember now, these all Jets and Giant fans in here. Here I am, Cowboy. I'm walking in there, and they're looking at me kind of funny. You know, don't care what it is. You know, I'm still walking in as a Cowboy. Went in the back room. They got this VIP room. I want to tell you, VIP room, everybody was in there. I walked in. First dude ran up to me with Sprewell. What's up, Latrell? What's up, Mike? Wait. Then I get love to Sprewell. We sit and talk for a moment. I look up. Tracy Morgan is over there. You know, Tracy Morgan. I did the longest yard with Tracy Morgan. So I ran over to give him some love. And as I'm talking to him, Daryl Strawberry comes behind me and grabs me around the neck. Like, what's up, Michael? We talking about the time. We hung out in Atlanta and yeah, that was a long time ago. That's all I'm going to say. Some of the time that Daryl Strawberry and I had together. So, and then get this, I'm going to tell you this, because for me, there are only a few people that I have looked at and said, wow, that's that person right there. And I had another one of those moments last night. Another one of those moments. I may have told you the only time I've ever gotten an autograph from an athlete, it was Julio Cesar Chavez. Julio was, he was the modern day Rocky Marciano, basically. I mean, the man was bad. I don't know if you guys know about boxing, but Julio Cesar Chavez was the man. And I saw him in Mexico, got his autograph, man. I just couldn't believe that he was standing next to me. Last night in MSG, she walked in. And I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I sleep with this woman every night. I sleep with her every night. And when I grabbed her and to meet her and hug her to take a picture, she didn't know who I was. So here she has this big black man. Right, with dying, little glitter on his shirt and all down my pants, grabbing her. And I could tell, like, who is this big black woman grabbing me? And I asked for a picture. I said, I got to take a picture with you, please. I don't even ask people to take pictures, but can we please take a picture? And she gave me the picture, right? Let me tell you what it was. I'm going to tell you what. It was, I hope I pronounced her name right, because, you know, it was pronounced like Marissa Haggerty. I call her Liv. From Law and Order. Liv, Law and Order. It's my favorite show in the world. Let me tell you something. When I'm telling you I sleep with her every night, I really don't even sleep. I told her last, I said, oh my God, you know, I can't tell you how much I watch you every night. I watch Law and Order. I've seen the episode already. I've already seen the episode. And I still stay up watching them. I'm like, turn this damn TV off. I was telling her how much of a fan I am of hers. And she was looking at me like, yeah. Because these people come all the time. Chris Tucker, Chris Rock, Liv, all of them, they come to Madison Square Garden all the time. And certainly right now with the Knicks winning and in the playoffs, they were there. So anyway, I take the picture with her. We all come take the picture. And you know, I kind of feel like, oh, she really doesn't know. She didn't know, you know, and I hope I wouldn't. I hope I didn't. You know, I hope I wasn't too much because I was too fanboy. And I hope I wasn't too much, right? And then later on, when we went in the game, we got to walk out. We walked out of the game, and I was one of the last ones to come out. And I was in, like, the first seat right on the court, right, soon as you come out of the tunnel. And the game was about to start. And as the game was about to start, and they were moving the center court, Julius Randle, I told you, I watched this kid grow up. He looked over and saw me. And before, it wouldn't even, they wouldn't let him start the game. He ran over and bear hugged me. And thanks for coming, Mike. Dude. I almost started crying, man, because what I saw was the little kid I watched in school and the little kid that talked about one day he's going to be in the pros, man. And he came, ran over. And this is when I was doing my thing in Dallas, you know. So hey, after watching, he's like, man, I'm gonna get in the NBA one day too. I'm gonna be in the pros too. And just when he hugged me, I was like, man, it melted me. It was one of the greatest things I've ever experienced. And it also solidified me. It solidified me. Because the New Yorker didn't know how to handle it. And then once he came over, they were like, oh, okay, you with us. Okay, you with us this time. It was almost like it gave me the okay to be rooted for the Knicks. And I was off the chain. Every time anybody made a play, I was hopping up, jumping. So, you know, going crazy. We go back in to the VIP area at halftime. And Liv comes back up to me. And she said, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't know who you were when you hugged me. She said, my kids were saying, Mom, do you not know who that is? Mom. Her kids got on her. So she came back over and apologized. I was like, Liv, you don't have to apologize to me. You know, it's all good. She said, oh, let's take another picture. I took a picture with our whole family. But that was, for me, it was just an incredible evening. I wish the Knicks could have won that game. I wish they could have won that game. But nevertheless, in that arena, that was a difference. It's a difference. And I spent Friday and Sunday at the Mavs, and I love going to the games there, you know. But I felt something. Like in Madison Square Garden, in a Lambeau Field. I don't care what you say. You can build great arenas and beautiful arenas and great stadiums and beautiful stadiums. All the stadiums they build now looks better than Lambeau. When you go to those stadiums, we just did SoFi. It looks better than Lambeau. But it's a difference when you walk in Lambeau. Man, it's a difference when you walk in the Garden. It's just a difference, man. And the NBA needs the New York Knicks. They need this team to be good. They need to have that atmosphere, and they need to have that atmosphere on TV because you can feel that, man. It was insane. I was like, oh, this is – and I don't know. You know, I kept thinking, I said, man, maybe I'm just like this because we're coming off the pandemic. I'm showing up everywhere. I'm going everywhere. I'm going to be at that old Mayweather-Paul fight on Saturday, too. On Sunday in Florida. I'm going to that, too. I'm going everywhere. I'm like, why not? I'm rich. I'm black. Why? Just go. You can go. What are you waiting for? Pandemic, just go. I'm going. I'm going to be there. But, boy, what a great night. And I can always use it to say, hey, I got to go to these games so I can bring the experience right here to my peeps on the MIP. Folks, this is work I'm doing, and what a great job I have bringing it to you. Now, to the game, you know, after Julius came and hugged me, I sure wanted him to drop those first 4 or 5 3-pointers, and then he could attribute, oh my God, I got to get Michael at every game. That's what I really was hoping would happen. You know, he's going to drop those first threes there, and he'd have been calling me, talking, man, I need you to come to the next game. Man, I need you right back in that seat, because you know how athletes, we're superstitious. I need you right back in that same seat. And I'm going to come and hug you again right before the next game. That's what I was hoping happened. It didn't quite happen that way, even though he did end up with 23 points in that game. Then he had 15-18 in the first half. You know, he played okay, but boy, they lost that game, man. And you know what else I thought was interesting? The fan base. It's a hard fan base here, right? It's a hard fan base. It is. I mean, every play, every time. You talking about pressure. I felt pressure for Julius. I felt it. Every time this man shot the ball, everybody, when it went in, they erupted. And when it didn't go in, it was massive. I felt the pressure. I felt the weight of a letdown. I was like, oh, my God, this is a lot of weight on this dude. In New York, Madison Square Garden, and they literally are living and dying with every shot this man made because he's the catalyst. It was phenomenal atmosphere in a game, but the Hawks won, and you got to give the Hawks credit for the way they won that game. We had three closeouts in the series, three series closeout last night. You know, Utah over Memphis, Philly over the Wizards, and the Hawks over the Knicks. Now, I will tell you, I'm absolutely surprised that Philly won that game without Joel Embiid. I thought that they were going to at least get one more game without Embiid, especially after watching Ben Simmons walk to that basketball goal and shoot those free throws. And it's one of the things, Perk, and I talk about. You know, because we got Perkins on. He'll be percolating for you later. But that's one thing. Can you imagine the pressure on Ben Simmons when they do that? And he was walking a couple games ago. He's walking that free throw line. I said, man, that rim with each step must just kept getting smaller and smaller. By the time he got to the free throw line, he must have looked up at that rim and it looked like the head of an ink pen. Like, how can I hit this shot? Because that's just the pressure that came with it. But I got to give Doc Rivers credit, man, for being his best man down. It's one thing being a man down. But when you are your best man down and you still come up with a victory, that's the difference, man. So I'm anxious to see what happens now in this Philly in Atlanta series. That's going to be a good series. Utah took out Memphis. Of course, I watched the Hawks take out the Knicks. Another surprise, I must admit, pleasantly surprised, because I don't know what to do with this one. The Mavericks beat the Clippers last night. I just can't tell y'all.
I can't tell y'all how happy I am.
Here's the issue with this, right? I tweeted out when I was at the game Friday. I tweeted out a picture of me, Jalen Smith and Leighton Van Der Esch. And the Mavericks lost that game. And on the Twitter, you know, everybody was getting on, of course, getting on the linebackers because they thought they had a subpar season. And they were like, man, that's why the Mavericks lost. Because those Cowboys were there. Not you, Michael, because you won the three Super Bowls. But those other ones, you know, they were so upset, dog. It was funny, dog. It was funny. So get this. So Sunday, when I was back at the Mavericks game, Friday I was with the defense. Sunday, I was with Zeke and Dak. And we took another picture. I didn't even post a picture. Because after they lost, I was like, oh, God, if I post this picture, now they're going to say, you know, stop letting them Cowboys come to the Mavericks game because they're making us lose, you know. So I didn't even tweet that picture out, you know. And I thought I'm going to be, I thought the Clippers and got figured out the Mavs, they'll go and win this game. And then if the Mavericks lose, the Clippers, it won't be that it was a Cowboy jinx because, you know, the Clippers are just better than the Mavericks. But no Cowboys were at the game last night and the Mavericks won. I knew it was in L.A. People were tweeting at me when they saw me posting that I was at the game, telling Michael, you're on the wrong coast. I was like, wait a minute. You know, you're supposed to be in L.A. going to watch the Mavericks. So I'm like, you know, okay, I let that go. But, yeah, I can't tell you how shocked I am that the Mavericks won that game. Luka stepped up. I mean, Luka is crawling right up. Kawhi Leonard's back and saying, I want your spot. And they are up 3-2. They are trying. They are trying right now. The Clippers, Friday, they will try what the Lakers and Blazers are trying to do tonight. LeBron and Dame, they're trying to force a game 7. They are in must-win situations, and they are going to try to force a game 7 tonight with the Clippers, hopefully not, trying to force a game 7 Friday night. This stuff has just been great, man. I can't tell you. Luka, if Luka can do this one more time Friday night, oh my God, I'm telling you, that place will erupt in Dallas, if they can do this and win this one series, because everybody, including me, after the way the Clippers won those last two games, I thought this series was over. I thought it was over. And a lot of people thought it was over. Now, I got to find more things to go to so I can just keep reporting like this. I'm going to start posting all my picks now because, you know, I can't post during the event because I'd be so wrapped in that event. I was jumping out the seat every time a play was made. I mean, I was a real New Yorker last night. I had never really been a New Yorker, but last night I was a real New Yorker. And I'm going to tell you, it was fun. It was absolutely fun. Hey, speaking of fun, you got to remember now, before all of those games last night, I sat down and talked with the big fella. I love calling big fellas the big fella. You know, Big E, Big Cat, those are big dudes, man. You always call them the big fella. And the big fella of the NBA is Kendrick Perkins. I mean, this dude is just great on TV. And I'm going to tell you, he was great on the MIP. Perk was percolating. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. In the MIP right now is a man that we've been waiting to get on. I've been watching, especially over these last month, and as we went into going into this playoff basketball, and he's been tearing it up every day on TV. This is a Texas boy, so you know we got connectivity and roots up in Beaumont, Texas. He won Mr. Basketball in Texas, and Parade All-American, McDonald's All-American. This was a bad man. He was drafted into the NBA in 2003, straight out of high school by the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round. Joining the MIP, the Mike Orvin Podcast, is this bad man and an NBA champion with the Boston Celtics, Kendrick Perkins. And Perk, you're lighting them up on TV. I mean, you're lighting them up, man. Yeah, I get my workout in the morning. And then I come on back home. I ain't lying. I turn on the TV. I pop it on. I watch you on Get Up with Greeny. I watch it all the time with Stephen A. I be hitting Stephen A. and say, man, Perk is crazy, man. So let them know, man. You're just doing a great job, man. Just keep up. I want to first tell you that. Keep up the great job you're doing, buddy.
Hey, Legend, I appreciate it coming from you, man, because you don't realize, I got my blue on, right? And you got to realize that I've been a diehard Cowboys fan since I was 10 years old, all right? 10 years old. So when it was you, Aikman, Emmitt Smith, the Moose, you know what I mean? When y'all was handling y'all business down there at D-Town, Big Perk was in Country Bowl, my Texas brother. So look, hey, look, I'm more excited about being on the pod with you. I'm like, hold on, this the legend right here, Michael Irvin? Man, listen, if I would have told my grandmother I was coming on here with you, do you know she would have tried to get her 80-year-old self on here and try to I ain't even lying. But, man, it's an honor, man. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, hey, look, huge fan, been a fan. I appreciate everything you do because I've been watching you as well, and I learned a lot of things. And you are one of the few legends that, in my opinion, when I watch you speak on television and I watch you even before I started, you made it comfortable for guys like myself to be okay to be myself. That makes sense? Man, you know, some guys try to come in this media world and man, they try to be somebody that they not, right? Right? Look at, you know, trying to go in dictionaries and things to that nature. Right. When I watch you, I'm like, hold on, this is genuine. He's speaking the gospel first thing first. And you could tell it's just authentic. And I said, hold on, man. This is the type of approach that I want to come with because I played basketball, but every Sunday, my channel is on the football. Every Sunday, I'm watching football nonstop. You know how Texas football is from high school on up. So I was raised as a football fan before a basketball fan. So I just wanted to give you flowers, man, and tell you I appreciate you, Legend, for having me on.
Perk, I can't tell you how much that means, man. And that's real love on a deeper level too, Perk, because, you know, honestly, even coming into business, it was being dudes like us. What you hear was like, you know, basically, they really wanted the more white black guys. Mm-hmm. And that's what we hear. We're just being frank. That's what they hear. So you can't get on and be who you are. And even when I first started, they were like, man, you know, you can't show that you like one. I said, man, I'm not trying to lie to these people. These people know I'm a Cowboy fan. Let's stop playing games.
Right.
Let's stop playing games. Like, I only played for the Cowboys. I won Super Bowl. I'm not going to sit up here and act like I'm not a Cowboy fan. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Right. So,
let's just be real and let the chips fall as they may. And they felt they falling okay. So I appreciate you saying that, buddy.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. And people have to understand that, man. It's, you know, I like to see people for who they are. And like I tell people all the time, yeah, I may come on TV and yeah, I got this country slang and country voice or whatever the case may be. And sometimes I may speak with broken English, but who gives a damn, okay?
This is not English class.
We're talking sports. So to me, I approach this just like I go in the barbershop. This is how we talking. We talking about sports and what we witnessing and what our eyes are telling us that we're seeing on TV or at these games every single night.
And the diversity of it. Come on inside, man. Okay, yeah, we talk like this sometimes. This is what it is. You want to learn more about us? We want to learn more about you. Here it is.
Right.
Stop making me try to be like you, and then you ain't learning nothing about me. Here it is, man. This is what it is. This is what we call a melting pot, and that's what we are supposed to be. So let's just be us and do us, man. Speaking about being us and doing us, you know, when I talked about you going from high school right to the NBA, nobody ever talks about that, Perk. Nobody ever talks about it. And you know, and when I hear to say, oh, yeah, LeBron was the last one to go from high school to the NBA, that wouldn't be true. That would be you.
Well, we was in the same draft class, but...
I know, but you went after him, so that means officially you are the last one.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy is that people they have short-term memory, right? And this is about everything for us as athletes towards the end of our career. That's a lot of times, that's especially with me, that's what people tend to fall back on. When I was that 14, 15 man on the roster, an old veteran playing my role. And then I have to remind some of these folks that, hey, look, you don't get drafted straight out of high school, all right, putting up misdemeanor numbers, all right? You get drafted out of high school doing stuff like breaking Shaquille O'Neal records. And I had to tell them, look, Doc Rivers made me into a role player at an early age. I was on my way. But Doc Rivers say, look, either you want to become a winner and win a championship, or I trade you and go, you can go somewhere else to try to make an all-star game. I chose to be a winner and a champion because that goes a whole lot longer. That goes a long way. I'd rather be known as a champion than an all-star. One thing about it, legend, is this. Yeah. We could think about, you could go back in the history. If I point out a year to you in football and say who won the Super Bowl, it may take you about 10 seconds. You'll hit it. But if I ask you who made the All-Pro Bowl team, you probably couldn't even remember who was on that roster. Right. You know what I mean? And that's the thing that sticks with me, is being called the champion. I know you got that same feeling.
And especially now, Perk, especially now, because I get arguments with guys all the time. Man, I had 100 more catches than Mike. I got 3 rings, dude. You ain't got nail. I don't care about them extra 100 catches. You got to play in the fourth quarter when I was sitting my ass on the bench because we had enough beating them down. Now, I don't know what you see what I'm saying? Right. And in this social media world, all of that counts. They want to, they put it all out. Everybody want to talk about it. I'm like, man, this thing's about championships, man. It's about championships. And as you said, that's all people going to remember. That's all we remember. Every year, they go over the championships. They don't go over who the highest score was that season, who got the most rebounds, that who caught the most passes, who won the ship. That's all we're going to talk about. Yep. That's the bottom line. So that is the important thing. Now, speaking of those championships, last season's champion, LeBron James and the King, the Lakers, we are talking about right now, LeBron James, they like they're in some trouble right now, buddy.
You know what? They are. But look, playing against LeBron and playing with LeBron is just hard. To me, you got to knock him out for me to know that you beat him. You got to, like, I gotta be watching the game and that buzzer has to go off and they have to say LeBron James has been eliminated for me to say he's in trouble. Because I done seen this movie too many times. I done seen it when he had his back against the wall and he done got doubted. See, this is the thing what people have to realize. One thing LeBron James embraced is the word pressure. You know why? Because I really strongly believe this and feel this. I was in the class with LeBron. We've been close friends since the 7th grade. And it's no other athlete in the world, in my opinion, that's had the amount of pressure like LeBron James. Just think about this. At the age of 16, this man was set up for failure. Okay? He was set up for failure. They had him on the cover of Sports Illustrated, labeled the chosen one. So when I think about, just his whole history, everything he went through throughout his surpassing expectations when you were set up to fail and getting to this point and watching you go through multiple playoff series and do your thing when you've been down 3-2, been down 3-1, one of the greatest championships of all time in NBA history. I'm looking at this series right now. I'm like, you know what? I was mad at Bron last night because I said the role players are off. Dennis Schroeder and Caldwell Pope, they just can't buy a bucket. Andre Drummond, I don't know what he's doing right now. He's not sprinting back in transition. He's not protecting the basket. He's just out there, 275-pound, 7-foot guy just out there. He's not making no impact. I was mad at Bron, and here's why. I was expecting him to go out and empty his clip. In this moment, when AD is out, I didn't give a damn if LeBron James went out there and took 40 shots last night. That's what I wanted him to do. Empty your clip. Don't defer. I know it's the right play. I know sometimes they send in double teams. Shoot over the double team. That's what I was on with him. But Anthony Davis is coming back in game six. He's coming back. And I think the Lakers are going to get game six. And then game seven, you never know what could happen after that.
And now, but how good can AD be? Over there, when I'm watching Arizona Phoenix, man, and that boy Devin Booker with Chris Paul. And Piro, that makes such a huge difference, them getting Chris Paul mentality and everything, the way Chris Paul is as a leader. You know, Chris Paul has everybody over the house. My family ain't even here. I'm just having all the guys over. But, you know, you got teams that you get together like that. You got a better shot at getting some things done. If guys are coming together because they're making that kind of commitment. Yeah, we're having a beer or whatever. But we talking about what we really want to do. We kind of committing each other in this room. You know what I mean? So I can't wait. I want to see how healthy is AD. You think he can be healthy enough to get game six with the Lakers?
Well, he could impact the game more than what Drummond is. I take a 50% Anthony Davis than 100% Andre Drummond. Now, I will say this. You right on money, because before the season started, I predicted that the Phoenix Suns were going to be a top five team in the NBA, and that they are. I just didn't know that they were going to be a contender so fast, right? I'm looking at this young core, and they grew up right in front of our eyes, and this is the argument that I have with everybody when it comes down to the MVP conversation. When I say Chris Paul should win the MVP because it's the most valuable player. You take Chris Paul off that team, and where's that team going to be? Probably at the bottom of the Western Conference. And I compare him to Steve Nash's situation. Same position, same organization, same results, okay? Finished top two teams in the league, same position, made the All-Star game, and then same results, same organization, Phoenix Suns, point guard position. Right. How does he not win the MVP? That's why I get tired of the MVP conversation. But I do say this. The Lakers are going to win game six, and they're going to go down to Phoenix. And I don't know from there. It's to be determined.
We will see if those young dudes you talked about have really grown up. Because you just mentioned it. You talk about LeBron James. You talk about pressure. You talk about game seven. It's one of two things, baby. I tell young dudes in the locker room, I say, hey, one of two things, baby. We're about to see some pressure out here. Pressure going to either makes the good fold, but for us, the great, it will make us focus. Let's go do, you know what I mean? So this is going to make you do one or two now.
Right,
you're going to have to fold or focus, but pressure going to be right there. And how you handle it will determine who you are. And I can't wait for that. I hope you're right. I hope we get a game six Lakers win, and then to see the pressure of the moment in game seven for those young guys going up against AD and LeBron, who's been there before, you know, it becomes wisdom and veteran versus that youth and inexperience. That'll be a hell of a game. I can't wait.
I definitely see it.
Yeah, I hope we get that. I hope that happens, man, in that series. Now, let's talk about what we saw last night, though. Talking about hoping great things happen in a series. Man, talk to me about Dame time. that thing was insane last night.
You know,
Dame, 55 points. 55 points.
But you know what? It, my grandpa always used to tell me, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And it was the fashion that he did it in, right? Yeah, he had the 55, but the both of the three-point shots descending in the overtime and the tie, the way he was doing it, Kevin Durant called it a spiritual moment or something like that, which it was. I mean, you know, and far as me playing in the NBA and covering the NBA now, that was one of the greatest damn performances I ever seen. You know, from an individual, I hate that he had to take an L with that, but it's still, you know, here's the thing with Dame Dollar. He's so well respected, and he's one of my favorite players because, you know, he's one of those guys that says, I'm not running away from the grind. But now he's getting up in his 30s, and I'm just wondering, how long is he going to sit there in Portland, you know, because I don't want a guy like that wasting his prime. Mm. Like if he was to go and leave, I wouldn't look down on him because he didn't show me on multiple occasions that he's battle tested. Hell, he's the most clutch goddamn motherfucker in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Legend, when you think about it, stats wise, in the clutch moments, he comes up big time. I just want to know how long is he going to stay in Portland and be loyal to this organization before he actually go out and say, you know what, I need to go get me a championship.
Man, you know, when you start talking about it, I thought about J.J. Watt. He did that in Houston this year. You know what I mean? He had been in Texas, been blowing off defensive player of the year over there a couple of times. And it's like, okay, now, are you going to get the experience, that thing you and I was talking about in the beginning of this talk conversation? Are you going to get the experience or try to get the experience being a champion before you get out of here? So right. You don't think, and I love his grit. I love his fight. I love that he said, hey, I came here. I want to make it happen here. That's a great thing. But you don't see it ever happening for Dame time in Portland. You don't see them winning a championship.
You know what? I said this, okay? If they don't make it to the finals this year, they got to blow it up. Because think about it. This has been 8 years that we've been watching him and C.J. McCollum battling it out with people in the playoffs and haven't got past the Western Conference. At some point in time, as a general manager, as an organization, you got to look at this and say, it's not working. You know what I mean? This is just not working. So, I mean, you got to figure something out. And at some point in time, I'm looking at Dame Dolla. Everybody knows Dame Dolla from the youth to the old. Everybody's a fan. He's a guy that you can't hate on because right. The way that he carries himself, right? So I'm thinking about where he's living at, right? He's playing for Portland. But I'm thinking about if he was in a big market city like New York, you know what I mean? He could – how much more money he could be making outside of basketball and a much bigger stage and things to that nature. You know what I mean? And I don't want us to take – see, this is the problem. We have a tendency of taking guys that are guys like Dame and Russell Westbrook for granted, right, instead of cherishing what the hell they bringing at the moment. Like, I want to cherish this moment. And I want this man to also be under the bright lights where – we already know the Knicks from where they are right now, next year, they're going to have 20 to 30 national televised games. I want to see Dame Dolla on that damn TV in the Knicks uniform or in the Laker uniform.
Wait. You know you're saying something now. Because if Dame was on the Lakers right now, oh, my God. It'd be, you know, because that's what they need a real – dead eye shooter. Just need a shooter. They need one dead eye shooter. Dame was but you do see a possibility of him leaving. You say the Knicks will be a good spot. The Lakers will be a good spot. Now should he not try to team with other superstars? Because is it his style and him being the catalyst? You can't. Can you win a championship with him being the catalyst, or does he go and become a great second or a great Robin to somebody?
Well, the good thing about Dame is that you could drop him off anywhere in America, and the way that he plays the game of basketball, he's going to fit right in.
Right.
So he could go in and fit in with a LeBron and AD. He could go fit in with a Steph, Clay, and Draymond Green. He could go fit in anywhere because he could play off the ball. He could play on the ball. His decision making. He moves well without the ball in his hand. So at the end of the day, when you look at a guy like Dame Dolla and Steph Curry are two of the guys that could dominate a game without the ball in their hands. See, people don't give Steph Curry a lot of credit the way that he's able to move and play off the ball, right? Yeah. Just imagine, Dame Dolla could do the same thing. He just don't have a facilitator like Draymond Green to be able to have the IQ to notice and read certain reads. But, nah, you could drop him off anywhere. He go fit right on in.
And then he has to do so much in Portland. Because he don't have that facilitator. So it's simple, kind of comparable to what James Harden had to do in Houston. And he will be wearing down by the time we get in the playoffs. Now James Harden don't look worn down because he has all this help around him, and he's just dispersing that ball. And he went off the other night too. I mean, James, we got to talk about it. That's another whole story, man. But since we're on this Portland thing and Dame time, and I want to ask you about this now, because it's one thing when you get in this business that you have to deal with, especially when you're blowing up like you're blowing up, Perk. When you make comments and people start, you know, see people want to talk back about it, like clap back in a certain way. Years ago, when I was playing, we didn't have social media. So dudes could say a whole lot of stuff, talk, but there was no way to get back at it. Right. Nowadays, when we say stuff, everybody has social media, they get to respond. You know, now that you're on this side and you give your commentary, your thoughts on what you see on the court, You get things, you make statements. So you said you talked about Yusef Nurkic's defense. He comes right back and make comments about your comment on him, on his defense. What do you think when you hear or see stuff like that now?
Oh, I love it because I'm going to clap back. Look, I want all the smoke. So well, at the end of the day, I got tough skin, man. I ain't sensitive. I ain't in my feelings. One thing about me, legend, if I could dish it out, I could take it, okay?
Right.
So one thing, he got to be ready for me, though. If you come at me, I'm going to come back at you. So, you know, I'm going to go pull up some footage, and I had to let him know. I pulled up the Kobe clip when Kobe Bryant said, hey, man, Kendrick Perkins is the best post defender in the league and was giving me all praises. I had to tell him and under the caption on Twitter, I said, look, you're a young fella. You were still drinking Similac when I was putting in work. But don't worry, you might get there soon.
And you put it in where you could bang it up, when it was really smoke, when it was real banging up in there.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, the only thing I'm doing is that I just want you to compete. Right. I understand Jokic is good, but go out there and compete. This is a team that traded you so that Jokic could take your spot. You know what you're supposed to have some type of revenge on your mind, right, or some type of I'm about to show these, like, I just want to see it. Like, that's it. You're supposed to be like, nah, not on me. That's all I was saying. And right. He got sensitive and got in his feelings, but I don't care. I don't give a damn. I'm gonna say what I want to say.
I'm with you on that, Perk. I'm with you on that too. I want to visibly see that you have made this like, okay, you must think I measured up. I'm right. Gonna show you every time right here. Oh, you use him now, and we can get to that now. But the boy is going off. But I'm gonna tell you where I do see some of that. And you saw him the other night, kind of close that thing out. You talking about now, John Morant, a bad boy. God knows he's a bad boy, man. I love him. But I, as an old head, I was like, oh, look at Mike Conley saying, all right, young man.
He did.
That game the other night, that Mike Conley was doing exactly what you talked about.
He did. He said, he basically told Ja Morant, I get it. You got the keys now.
But I built this building.
I'm the one that laid the dirt before they put the concrete.
Right.
I'm the one that laid the dirt on here. Because when Memphis was striking, he hit two dagger threes. I said,
right. Right.
Give that little smirk, but he really got it on his mind. You know, he's just a solid killer. He'll give you that little smile, but he really got it on his mind. And look, legend, listen, I got to ask you something. I got to ask you something about the football world. All right? And this is a serious question, okay? I'm down here in this H-Town, right? This is where I live at in Houston.
Right.
And, man, I'm watching everything, right? And not even getting that. But I'm watching two situations unfold. I'm watching Aaron Rodgers on vacation, mad at the Green Bay Packers, okay? And then I'm watching Deshaun Watson, both asking for the same thing almost, right, that they want out. But now I know the story behind the story on what's going on with Deshaun Watson, and I'd rather not get into that because – it has something to wholly do with the owner and the lawyer that they dealing with. We already know he ain't right. So I ain't going to even speak on that. He ain't right. We know what they trying to do to this man. But I want to know is that Deshaun Watson, he catches, forget the allegations. he catching more heat than Aaron Rodgers is right now. And I got a problem with that because here it is, Aaron Rodgers. You just went to the NFC Championship?
Right.
Right? The right. NFC Championship. And that's only one game away from the Super Bowl. Right. I mean, you was only probably, a drive and a field goal away from going to the Super Bowl, or maybe you just taking off running with the football.
That third down play, right.
Right. So I'm looking at it, and me and Stephen A. was talking about this morning, and it's just about, you know, the culture and how, like, African-Americans get treated on certain aspects as far as how, like, Brad Stevens lost his job. Well, went up from coaching to all of a sudden he's the players of operation. You know, like, if an African-American coach get fired, he just get fired. It ain't no going to no other position. And so I'm looking at the two. Aaron Rodgers is having it his way. He's on the island. He's in Hawaii. He's living. I just wanted to ask, what was your thoughts about that whole situation?
And it's all of it. In this world, it's a lot different than in NBA. And these guys are fighting for their freedom and the ability to make some calls like you're talking about in the NBA. Ultimately, and this is what I always said, Perk, when we talk about this, quarterback, like how they done Deshaun, you getting rid of my best player. I don't remember. Mm. I don't even remember who Dan Marino's GM was. I don't remember him. Nobody remembers him. But everybody remembers Dan Marino didn't win a Super Bowl. So now these quarterbacks are starting to say, wait a minute. Like Deshaun said, wait a minute, man. I'm writing my history. They're going to say what I didn't do, even though you jokers are sitting up here not giving me players. You're taking away my great players and leaving me out here like this. And when I say, oh, no more, I'm tired of that. Then everybody, you know, kind of turn on him. Now with Aaron Rodgers, like you said, he didn't put some pretty good teams out here, Aaron Rodgers. You've been a player two away. You've been in the NFC Championship game consecutive years. And it's just a matter of you getting it done. There's a difference there. And what you're talking about, is there a difference there in how we treat that white quarterback and how we're treating that black quarterback, even if we were without the allegations that are against Deshaun Watson. And I thought even the beginning of it, how it played out in the beginning, before we started hearing about the allegations and all of those things came out, you saw a difference. Right. It was automatically, let's give Aaron Rodgers what he wants. Let's give him what he wants. And it wasn't automatically that, even before the allegations with Deshaun Watson.
Even like with Matthew Stafford, right? Matthew Stafford went in and said he wanted out. Next thing we know, he was traded to the Rams for Goff, right? Right. So my thing is, Deshaun Watson says he want out. All of a sudden, he got to get held hostage. I just didn't understand, and I'm glad you broke that down to me because I needed a legend, a real football mind to break that down to me in layman's term to make me understand what the hell was going on.
But on the other side, now, Perk, too, now, I've heard all the stuff about the lawyers and the owners. I don't know anything about that. But I can't frat Houston for fighting like hell to keep Deshaun Watson. Okay. Now, fighting dirty, that's dirty. That's dirty. Because Stafford's a great player. But Deshaun Watson, once in a generation type dude. I saw this dude got kicked in the damn eye and fixed his helmet. Touchdown. I mean, wait a minute. Let's talk. You ain't going to find many dudes that can do that. You know what I mean? So I understand you want to fight for him, but let's fight clean. Let's fight clean. Let's talk about possibly saying, okay, we'll capitulate. What is it you trying to get done over here? We just want to get you back, as opposed to all of the things that we think or hear about is going on with the Deshaun Watson situation. So I hope that plays out. But it is definitely different in the NFL than it is in the NBA with the superstar players. But the NFL players, I'm telling you, have taken notes to what goes on in the NBA, and they're trying to change that now. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're trying to change it.
But see, in my eyes, when I look at it in any sport, right, when if to me, if a guy is trying to get somewhere where he want to win because you're not doing right by him and you're not building around him, or you're trading a guy like Hopkins, getting right. him out of there, which I didn't understand that move for the life of me. And he's trying to go win. I mean, like, you know, I'm loving the fact that players now could control their own destiny. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to get to that, man, because I it was on my mind about it, and not just because of what's going on legally, but it was just all of a sudden I'm watching a guy like Matthew Stafford get granted his wish, right. You know what I mean, and get to go play with a Aaron Donald right over there with that core that they have, receivers and Kopp and all those guys, and I'm like, man. Y'all just go hold Deshaun Watson hostage. But I didn't look at it from your aspect and saying, I'm not going to just let him go either. He's right, a generational right. talent. I get that.
Right. He's generational talent, and he is. He is, man. And dude, every team would want him. But I'm with you on that. If you think what you think, if you see that he's a generational talent, and you told a man you are going to talk to him, why are you making decisions without even giving him the look? You see what I mean? So don't tell me you mean this, I mean this much, and then treat me like I mean little. You see what I mean? That's all he's saying. And obviously they did that, and there was a last straw, and he said, okay, that's it. But I hope that works out.
Yeah, me too. I got another question. Who you got coming out of the Eastern Conference in basketball? Cause me and you are similar the way our personalities. I want to see if our minds think alike. I want to see who do you have coming out of the Eastern Conference this year. See,
I want to talk about this now because this is very good right here because you see what the Nets has done now. They've locked down. Now they're getting ready to go in battle. Your boy knows. They're yep. getting ready to go make that battle, that Milwaukee yep. battle now. I don't see how anyone knocks off New Jersey. How do you beat this team? How do you beat this team, Perk? Can you physical this team down? Because you're not going to out-talent this team. You ain't gonna out-shoot them. You can't out-play. They got so much talent. Who in the East, how can anybody in the East beat New Jersey? How can they do it if you can't out-physical them and just wear them down?
Well, let me tell you. So this is why I got the Milwaukee Bucks coming out of the Eastern Conference, okay? Because one, they have depth, all right? Two, they led the league in scoring this year, averaging 120 points. So they could put up points with the best of them. But The deciding factor for me was when they added Drew Holiday, because Drew yep. Holiday
playing,
just might be the best wing guard defender that they have in the league. Okay, and then you go get another rough rider in PJ Tucker, who KD has been on record saying he gives me fits because of his physicality, active hands, big body, quick feet, right? And then you got Giannis, you got Chris Middleton. You got Big Brook Lopez protecting the basket. And this is the thing. See, when you let a series go on too long in basketball, people start watching you. People start evaluating. See, if they would have swept the Celtics, then all of a sudden I wouldn't have seen certain things that I saw in the Brooklyn Nets. And I said this. I said, you know what? The Celtics, they don't have Jaylen Brown or Kemba Walker, and they are getting to the paint at will. They're getting in the paint that will. They're living in the paint, finishing around the basket. I said, oh, the Milwaukee Bucks go average 70-plus in the paint on them. And you know what else? Let me tell you. I don't know. Maybe you had this in y'all. Maybe when y'all was winning those championships in Dallas, y'all had this mindset as well. But in Boston, we used to have this mindset that towards the end of the season, if it was a team that we could possibly face in the first or second round or in the playoffs, we wanted to smash them because we didn't want to give them no damn hope that think mm-hmm. that they could beat us, right?
Right, 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 right.
Towards the end of the season, Giannis went for 49 on the Nets, and then he went for 35, and they won both of them. And the worst thing that happened to me was that he defended KD and he blocked his shot twice, his jump shot. And I said,
Perk. Got to push back Perk, though. Now, at the end of the season now, the New Jersey, and I don't know why I was – why do I keep calling New Jersey? I think it's the Kyrie thing. At the end of the season now, Brooklyn was not – they had guys in and out of the lineup. You know, James Harden in and out. You know, so injuries here, KD. So I don't know. I don't know. They're playing a different brand right now. Them boys, them three. But I like what you're saying, though, because I'm telling you, Milwaukee has come up with a big three with Middleton, too, now. With Middleton and Drew Holiday, you know who he reminds me of, too, of Drew Holiday, when I think about him? A guy that's just always there. It's just like Lou Williams.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter. If it's a basketball play, they know it. They are smart. They're going to give you everything they got. They'll be there. Don't worry. And the opportunity time comes, they'll make the play. They won't shrink in the moment. You know, those guys will make those plays. Those are solid guys, man. But it's hard to think that somebody can beat. Because James Harden, he can crank anytime he wants. You know what I mean? The only one in that whole group that can turn, I think, and really, I don't know how if I was mess it up, but that just can throw a monkey wrench in this stuff. It's Kyrie, because I just don't know where Kyrie's going to be.
At any given
moment. I don't know if he's going to wake up and just, I don't feel like talking to you. You just don't know where he's
going. Right. And that's the problem. Sometimes you get that Kyrie, man, where it's like he's the most skilled ever. And then he had those mood swings, all right? And then he come out and he say crazy things, you know? I use this narrative about Kyrie because he's so confused. And some days you listen to him and you watch him play and you like, man, this dude right here, he got it going on. And then it's sometimes I listen to Kyrie and I say to myself, if I was to take his brain and put it in a bird, you know what that bird go do? It's going to start flying backwards. It's going to fly backwards. I mean, it's just going to start flying backwards. Sometimes that's that's just the Kyrie that you just never know with him. And that's the scary part. At any given moment, he could just blank out or spaz out or whatever the case may be. And you just don't know. And he's not going to give you an excuse.
Right. Won't explain nothing. So you like, where'd that come from? Yesterday was a different day. Like yesterday was a different day, man. But you see, I think Kyrie's a smart dude. But it's okay to be smart. But I feel sometimes he wants to, I don't know, outwit everybody or something. Like mm-hmm. I just don't understand it. And what I figured though. But even with that personality, it's almost like Kyrie says, "All right, I'm different." KD says, "All right, I'm different." And James says, all right, everybody treats me like I'm different. But that may just be the different thing they need. That out feeling, that outcast feeling that everybody makes, that actually brings them all of those individuals together as one, and that kind of talent coming together as one. It's a hard stop.
I agree. And he's the alpha. You know what I mean? Because to me, Kyrie is the alpha. He's the one
of that group.
Yeah, he's not afraid to jump out there. And so when he jump out there, then all of a sudden you see the support of James Harden and Kevin Durant. See, Kyrie kind of lead the charge when it comes down to personalities and jumping out there and being different. And then it makes it okay for KD and James Harden to be different because they watching Kyrie and saying, oh, he ain't worrying about being accepted. Why should I? And then all of a sudden they all embrace that villain role, which is a good role. I love to be the villain. Because it makes you go harder.
Right. And we'll get together. We can show everybody it's us against the world, all of that. Yep. That's going to make it hard, man. It's going to make it hard. But just one day, you never know what he may do the next day. But if they can keep it intact, that's going to be a hard place. So you got Milwaukee coming out east. You don't have the Sixers. They don't have any chance.
Well, I had the Sixers at first, right? This was in the middle of the season. And then I just kept watching Ben Simmons. And when I started watching Ben Simmons, I love what he brings to the table, all right? But as a second option guy and as a part of a duo, I done been on too many teams where I done played with future Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers. I done played with Braun, KD, KG, Gary Payton. You know, I done played with them dynamic duos, legendary. And my problem is this. Those 9 and 8 points he be putting up in the game, that's not go get it. You know, you can't have Embiid getting you 29 and 30 and you getting the team 9. You know, when it matters the most and you got to go against the Milwaukee Bucks or the Brooklyn Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals, you're going to have to average 20. You're going to have to carry your weight as well. And so when I started noticing that he was struggling to score, but I liked everything else he brought to the table, I was like, nah, he's not better. They're not better than Brooklyn or Milwaukee. Now, I do think the Bucks and the Nets is going 7 games. Will I be surprised if the Nets win? No. But I got Milwaukee winning, but I will say this. Whoever wins that series is winning the Eastern Conference.
But help me with that, Perk, though, with Ben Simmons. I play basketball, man. I mean, I just – to see those guys miss free throws like that. I mean, I understand there's pressure. There's pressure out there. But how can you play this much basketball and not work on your free throws like this? Is that just mental? Because it can't be. It's not an athletic thing. It's not an ability thing. It's just mental.
It's all mental. Free throws is all about, you know, I used to have, like, as a big man, I shot a career of, like, 67%, which wasn't awful or bad or no Shaq numbers. It wasn't great. But when it mattered the most, I knocked them down. It's times I done went 10 from 11 from the free throw line. And majority of the times when you're a guy that struggled from the line and you struggle with shooting, you really want to see that first one go in. Like right. That first one go in, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm cool. Not like if you watch Ben Simmons, 9 times out of 10, when he make his first free throw, he's going to make his second. If he misses his first free throw, he's going to miss both. Like, you know what I mean? That's right. How it is with him. So, you know, at the end of the day, man, I think he's in the lab because Doc Rivers tell me that. So he works on his free throws. I just think it's all the mentality. And by the way, Scott Brooks just hit him with a surprise. Like, he never had a heck of Ben. And Scott Brooks put it on him right there in the spur of the moment. He's like, what? Heck of Ben, now all the attention on you again.
Were you making that walk? Were you making that long walk? That free throw line? I felt that. I was like, whoa, God almighty. I was like, every step. That goal is shrinking. Every step that goal is shrinking. When he got, I felt bad for him, man. That was a deadly walk. That was a deadly walk. Take me in that moment on those pressure free throws. What's the most pressure you've ever had on that free throw line like that?
Man, I ain't gonna lie, I failed. So it was my second year in the league, and we playing the Pacers, right, in the playoff series. And Paul Pierce, he get ejected. Because he get into it with Jamal Tinsley. Now, we on the road in Indiana. Paul Pierce actually got fouled and had to shoot 2 free throws. But since he got ejected, he couldn't shoot the 2 free throws. So I hadn't played all game. The coach, Rick Carlisle at the time, he get to pick who he want to come in and shoot the free throws. Now, mind I tell you, it's a tied ball game, all right? So all I got to do is make one and the game is over. It's only 1 second left on the clock. No timeouts for them. All I needed to do is make one. I'm 19 years old. I haven't scratched the surface of playing. I'm still dry. I'm still in my warm-ups. Man, I go to the free throw line and it's one of these moments. While I was standing at the free throw line by myself, right? So I just hear the building just go crazy. My head ringing. I'm 19. I'm like, man, what is going on? I shoot the first one. Clean right off the back rim. I shoot the second one. It barely tipped the front of the rim. We go into overtime. Luckily, we end up winning. But, man, I was messed up psychologically, man. I told Paul, I said, man, don't ever do that shit to me again. Yeah, put me out there on the spot like that, man. I got my family and friends, girl over there watching me, and I got to get put on the spot on national TV and go to the free throw line in front of everybody with a second left. I ain't been in the game.
Oh, my God. I felt that, man. I felt you. Yeah. I was 19 years old walking up and down. I've been waiting on this all my life, and y'all just going to throw this at me like that right there. Right. That must have been so heat. You said it was Rick Carlisle to put you out there now. I need to go because I thought the Mavericks had this thing won, man. Okay, I was at game three. I was at game four in Dallas. We were ready. We thought Luka had arrived and this thing was over. And it didn't end up that way, man. Bray, talk to me about what you see in that series.
Man, look, this is the thing. So at the end of the day, I'm gonna tell you this. Porzingis got to give y'all something, okay? Man, you 7'4". You 7'4". You ain't giving nothing in the paint. You hanging out around the perimeter. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. You got to give something. All right, that's the first thing. Second thing is that Luka, you know, I don't know how bad that pinched nerve in his neck is, but it looked like it's bothering him. But they still in a good position. They still in a great position. It's series tied 2-2. Now it's the first of two wins out of three. You already know you can win on their home court because you already done that. So now it's back to Tim Hardaway Jr. Can he give you that 20 points a night? And you know, you're going to have your shooting woes if you're a shooter. But it comes down to Porzingis. Porzingis should be putting up 25 and 15 a night. Because nobody's protecting the paint. The way the Dallas Mavericks play, they play where they spread you out, running high pick and roll. All you have to do is dive. They throwing it up to the rim. You going to get it. You going to dunk it. He wants to pick and pop. He wants, like, it just bothers me watching Porzingis. And people got mad at me when they traded him from New York because I called him a diva. You know, the way that he go about carrying himself and that he's soft. You know, and he is, and it's showing right now because if they get anything out of him, they'll beat the Clippers.
Because when I watched the perk, I said, man, those first couple games, they were trying to outshoot the Mavericks, and they couldn't. Those last two games, they just said, you know what? Y'all want to play European ball. Let's drive right by them. And, I mean, what can you call it?
Why, like Spoelstra, I've seen, like, remember last Spoelstra was coming up with all these new defenses in that bubble. Uh-huh. He was throwing stuff. I'm sitting up. I'm frustrated. I'm like, dude, come on, man. Let's play a 2-3 zone. Do something. You can't stay. Why won't he put Beaumont Big Buddy in and tell him just stay close to the basket? Let's make them shoot. Don't you leave. You just don't let Kawhi drive. You just stay. You know what I mean? And let's get back to making this a shootout contest because we won the first two. On a shootout contest. But the last two, they were like, man, we finna drive by all you European players. Man, y'all too slow. Now, is there any adjustment that could be made for the Mavericks to slow down the way they are getting to the basket?
Well, the thing is this. This is the one adjustment I'll make. Who's the guy that been killing them all series? It's Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi. Get the ball out of his hands. Make him a facilitator. On his catch, go trap him. Make him kick it out to Rondo and Reggie Jackson. Make them have to go for 40. Don't let Kawhi just play 1-on-1. Go get the ball out of his hands first thing first. And then you worry about the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, I sure hope they can do that and give us a little hope because that thing looked ugly the last couple weeks. Now, like, man, I'm there. Since this thing been lifted, Perk, I'm going everywhere. I was at the Canelo fight. I was at them games the other night. Right now, I'm in New York. As soon as I finna get up, I'm going to ask you about these Knicks right now. Then I'm getting up, and I'm going right over there to that game. That's what I'm talking with my boy Westnell, man. So I can't wait to see that. That's going to be crazy tonight. You know,
Oh, it's going to be rocking.
Madison's going to be great. Yeah. I'm going to be right there on the floor, Tupac, right there on the floor. And you know Julius Randle, I grew up right there. You played with my son. Went to high school with him, so I watched him all the time in high school, man. Do the Knicks have any chance, man, at coming out of this? First winning this, and then any chance at trying to get this series back?
I don't think so. I think the Hawks got their number, and the Hawks just have too much firepower offense.
They're playing right now, too.
Yeah, they playing. They playing. And we have to realize, man, everybody talking about experience, but the person out there with the most experience is Clint Capella. And the way he's anchoring that defense right now is something amazing to see. He's rebounding. He's blocking shots. He's finishing at the basket. And, man, that Trae Young, Ice Trae. See, the thing is with Trae Young is that what people have to realize, he's been seeing boxing one coverages and all type of defenses since he was at Oklahoma in college. And forget his games were nationally televised where people were sitting up here watching defense being thrown at him, and he was still coming out with 40. So this ain't nothing new to him. He, in a regular season, people was doing the same thing to him. So this is nothing new to him. So it was set for him for this stage. Julius Randle is struggling because he never had to experience this. That's why I got on the Knicks fans and told them, back off of Julius Randle. This is a growing experience for him. He never experienced a double team and things to that nature. Let him experience this and back the hell up. Y'all lucky he on the team because he's the reason that y'all got to the postseason in the first damn place.
And now maybe like you talked about the Dame dollars and those other people out there that can get you over the hump may start peeking and saying, that looks like an okay spot again because of what Julius Randle has done to getting them over the hump. But you bring, man, I hope Julius shows up. You talked about it earlier. These guys. RJ Barrett, these guys are basically guaranteeing now a victory today when they were talking to the press and talking about this game tonight. How do you think that plays? Like in football, that's great. I want you hype because you got to run into somebody. But basketball, do I want you to be that hype or is it I need you to be more focused and trash talking and all of that? How do you see this game?
Well, the trash talking is cool. The physicality part is where you got to watch out at. And I'm not saying don't play physical, but you don't want to pick up dumb fouls. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Trying to do crazy stuff because you shoot a cheap shot. Now all of a sudden you got three fouls in the first half. You got to go sit down when we want to see the action. We want to see you actually play the game. You know what I mean? The chirping and all that, I'm all for that. You know, if they get a couple pushing fouls, technical fouls, I'm for that too. You know what I mean? That's what makes it. It's going to be rocking in the garden. You expect the intensity. I'm looking forward to it because I'm telling you, as soon as I finish with you, I'm going to give me some crawfish. I'm going to come back. I'm going to take me a good shower. I'm going to sit down at the table in my man cave and I'm going to turn on the TV and I'm going to enjoy this action tonight. I'm ready for it too,
Perk. I'm going to be right there. You'll be sitting right on the floor. I'm hopefully you can bring me a vodka and cranberry while I sit there too. I'm going to definitely get me a vodka and cranberry. Perk, I took way too much of your time, man. I could talk to you all day, big fella, man. And tell your peeps, man, I sure appreciate all that love, man, that cowboy love, man. I knew. He would have said, Beaumont, I said, okay, they're all Cowboy fans.
Oh, die hard. Skipped right over the Houston Oilers and came straight to Dallas Cowboys.
Right. We used to come to Beaumont.
Yeah, I messed with Warren Moon. That was my guy, but I skipped right over. I was Cowboy, baby. Cowboy Nation.
I ran the Cowboy basketball team. We used to come to Beaumont to play basketball games, chair the basketball games, man. Yep. Pup was from there. Pup from there too, Kevin Smith. You know, so we would come by and play. And man, we had some great times in Beaumont, man. Good people are in Beaumont. And good people, I can tell that's where you come from, buddy. Thanks for taking the time, man.
Thank you, Ledge. I appreciate it. Hey, look, I'm going to be checking for you tonight.
I'll be there. Keep up the good work, buddy.
All right, you too.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
What's better than courtside seats? Free sports on Pluto TV. Hey, sports fans, get all your sports free on Pluto TV. Pluto TV is your home for sports. Watch 24/7 channels of MLB, MLS, MMA, sports news and analysis, plus documentaries, TV shows, and movies, all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night! And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink. We play games. We have the song of the week. We have the creative curse word of the week. As long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!